want everybody. It's a question and answer show.
Remember this one?
Yeah.
Slide up a chair and let's get dirty and low. Come on, everybody. Get crazy, let's get nuts, let's ride this thing just like a truck into the night. Not a dry eye in sight. Oh, come on, everybody, it's a question and answer show. It's a question and answer show.
There it is, baby. Making another, it was a comeback.
Oh, I forgot about that song. That's a good one.
It is a good one. It's our cousin Joe Ballerini's, I think, favorite. Song we do. He just randomly texts me lines from that song.
Wow, he's got some time on his
drive
hands.
That was
two
pre baby and a Babysitter's Guide launch. Welcome everybody, obviously by that song, to the question and answer show part Trey.
Yeah, well, it's the first one of the second season. We've done two before.
We had a backlog of questions that you guys had for us,
and then we got some freshies.
We do some freshies in here. I was going over and I was making notes too. I'm very prepared.
Oh wow, you don't usually do notes. You let me just kind of blast you with them, and then you just roll with it.
You know what? I'm trying to take this a little more seriously.
Oh,
you know. So I did my homework.
Good for you.
And then you came here and you started demanding things. So I only got 3 out of the 5 pages through, but it's better than nothing.
Anything? What are you talking?
You
what
wanted
did I
coffee,
demand?
And then you wanted your coffee mug that you left here last time, and then you realized we were making vegetarian chili, so you're like, I think I would really like a spoonful, and
no,
you're like,
I
fine,
didn't.
You could stay for vegetarian chili
he's
afterwards.
Lying. I did not ask for a spoonful of vegetarian chili. I needed a coffee. I need a little pep in my step.
I love that. I love how everybody comes to our house, like mom, dad, anybody, and but, always asks for like our,
it's
our good. It's really good coffee.
It's a good. It's a DeLonghi, right?
No, it's a Gaja.
A Gaja.
But it grinds the beans and it makes you the espresso lungo, which are the long espressos. They're so good. So my family always comes here. You know, most of the time, most people come here. They have a coffee and then they like use the bathroom instantly.
I did not use the bathroom.
No, you did
yet.
Not. I did not see that.
But yeah, that bidet's got my name on it later.
Gonna get
spritz.
How about the second spooky horror Halloween episode, Emily?
Yes, that was, I'm pretty happy with that one.
Who knows the number one fan of that episode? Mom.
Oh, yeah.
She said her and dad were laughing.
I know. And then she texted some legit gibberish.
Yeah, I don't know what
don't
they
know.
Got. They were laughing hard,
I know.
I'm sure. Exercising, per usual.
Oh, in the basement.
Ooh, they listened to our podcast and exercise.
Oh, God,
so
that is the grossest
thing. But we
thing
had such a fun time doing that. I had fun. I listened to it at least 3 times. I listened to it in the car.
Oh.
With Lorenzo and his buddy in there, we went to a haunted, it's called Haunted Highway.
Ooh.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. A drive-through, drive-in haunted house. We'll talk about that
okay,
later.
Okay, all right.
But speaking of that Halloween episode,
yeah,
can we talk about Andrea's, our neighborhood bartenders? I wouldn't even call them pictures. They're tableaus. What
I think
are they?
So there's definitely, what are they called? Like a triptych?
Yes.
When it's the three that go together, kind of. There is some legit styling involved in that.
She not only wrote the recipes for these cocktails mm-hmm. that she featured on our last episode, if you have, which my favorite has got to be the Margarita.
Come on.
I mean, she's clever. She's awesome. She's real. But man, did she put the energy into photographing these cocktails. And listen, I'm in the business. I have suffered through hours and hours of food styling by professional teams of mm-hmm. food stylists. Nothing ever looked like this.
Well, all of that Halloween accoutrement, did she just have it lying around the house?
Candlesticks.
Skulls. Ghosts.
Bones.
A crow.
Dude, there's a cat, a black cat next to a mason jar.
There's so many things.
There is. I'm looking at these right now. I had to put, there's a globe with a Dia de los Muertos skull in it. Next to, you got to look at the white pumpkin wrapped in that sheer material covered with like witch's legs. It is amazing.
And she put a lot of time into that. And to that, I give her mad props.
Go to comeonover.com and look at the pictures that are posted in the show notes from the last episode, please.
I'll put it in this week's show notes, too.
The blue Caraco drink, Caraco. She says it. I love it. There's 3 random ice cubes floating in there. It's ready to sip. It makes you want to make them all in front of, it looks like a skeleton hand with some kind of hammer in it about to smash the Karakawa bait thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Boom.
Boom. So speaking of that episode as well, if you remember, one of our favorite stories was from Jackie.
One of the Jackies.
This one had her son that was whispering sweet nothings to his girlfriend.
And yeah, life's eternal. So I sent her an email asking if she could send us the actual recording, and she didn't get to me till after we recorded last week's episode, but we do have it and we're going to play it for you because it is legit spooky.
Now I totally have a retraction. It's my first one.
We
were saying EMF, which is electromagnetic frequency, which maybe the spectrum it lies in, this disembodied voice, as we said.
Yeah.
But it's actually, the definition is EVP. That's what I was searching for.
Oh, okay.
Electronic voice phenomenon. And that's when you pick up ghostly, quote unquote, voices in electronic recordings.
Okay.
They're all over the internet. Look them up. There's some spooky ones. Some are a little bit vague and hard to pick out. I think this one is pretty direct.
I think so, too.
So let's all take a quick listen. All right, turn up your volume. I got my stuff turned all the way up.
It's in the very beginning of the recording.
So you got to listen to the beginning. Then he starts doing
the weird voice.
Finding Nemo, like the seagulls.
Mine.
Yeah. Okay, so listen in the front. Life's eternal. Shh. Emily, shut up.
You shut up.
Okay.
Mine.
Okay, again, from the top. Here, listen. You can punch that up in post, too. Listen.
Yeah, I will.
Right at the beginning, the guy is going life's eternal. Don't shit your pants right now. Why are you making that?
Why are you adjusting your chair?
Are you shitting your pants in front of me?
I'm not shitting.
Nasty girl.
Jeffrey,
3, 2.
Mine.
I mean.
Mine.
I'm sure her son's going to be really happy that we're playing that on air. But she gave me permission.
Well, you sent this. Thank you, Jackie Clock, of course. And you sent this to me. It was 7:29. I was closing up for the night, as they say. And I press play. I'm like, what is this mine thing? I was like, what? Because you really need to like immerse yourself in this noise. You can't. Your laptop speakers usually don't do it justice. So put in your headphones. I'll play it for you one more time. 3, 2, 1. And then we're going to move on. Thank you, Jackie Clock, for providing us with this disembodied voice, which is
legit.
Zero explanation, Emily. You son of a bitch. Okay. The mine thing really falls off the cliff at that moment. But the guy saying life's eternal, there's no explanation. I love America. We salute you.
Yeah.
And your ghost.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay. So let's talk about some upcoming episodes we have for the holidays. The holiday season is upon us.
It is. So we, of course.
I just want to sell papers, boss. How many nickels do you want per paper? I only got a satchel full. Oh, I got my stick with the wheel. I'm just rolling it down the alley. Oh!
Stop. Go get yourself a licorice wick to me. I can't talk.
You got a swizzle stick? Oh, that's hard candy. Hey, boss.
All right.
Oh, man, put up your dukes. I'll fight you.
But as I was saying, we're going to capitalize.
Like, I'm picturing like the bed that they all sleep in, and then the mom is doing the laundry in the big kettle, the boiling water.
Are you thinking of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
That's the worst.
No.
Where was that? People were British. People were not British. Uncle Joe was totally American.
I know.
And then Willy Wonka was totally American, but half the other people were British. And
oh, my God.
It totally was shot in England.
Yeah.
Huh.
I never really dissected it in that way. Yeah. A lot of inconsistencies, but maybe Grandpa Joe, he had flown in.
Something
with the war.
Always
exactly.
The war.
Always the war.
Lincoln war.
But yeah. But we're going to have 3 upcoming Thanksgiving episodes.
Holy crap.
I know. We're going to do one about nothing but the sides.
Oh, yeah. We love sides. I'm in it for the sides. I say it all the time. Great. It was my idea.
This was pretty much Jeff's idea. And then we're going to do one which is going to be another call to action for all you lovely listeners, telling your Thanksgiving horror stories.
We are titling this Thanksgiving Dumpster Fires.
Yeah, I actually came up with that one.
This is not a competition.
Yeah, it is, and
no,
I'm winning.
No, it's not. I've made up 98%. I'll give you that 2% of making stuff up. I'm the title master.
I came
master.
Up with all those titles for the ghost story.
I came up with Life's Eternal. It was
me. No, you didn't.
Shoot,
stop it.
It was me.
No.
Point being, we want your stories. It could be uplifting. Sure, we'll throw a couple in there. But we have a story in our family where Frank was carrying 2 trays of my mom's famous mashed potatoes.
I think we should save this, Jeff.
Okay. Well, how it ends, you don't know. Because you got to tune in for this episode. But we want the stories of Thanksgiving being ruined. Thanksgiving being slightly delayed, Thanksgiving being that much more interesting from your
stories. Drunk uncles.
Drunk uncles.
Drunk aunts.
Drunk cousins.
Drunk grandmas.
Drunk babies.
Oh, those are the worst.
Do you remember baby Sebastian?
Baby Sebastian.
Who got drunk at Thanksgiving?
An asshole.
He was like, I'm so hammered.
Stop.
So, yeah, we need your stories.
By November 12th, guys.
Wow.
That's when you have to turn them in. Why can I freaking talk today? November 12th.
Because you went out last night and you're doing shots, and Mikey Savage is posting shots of your shots on the grams. I saw a tray of brown ass shots.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Ugh.
I know. Anyway.
I just felt it in my...
And anyway, the last one will be leftovers.
Ask Jeff at comeonover.com. Send us your stories, and we will... I mean, not so much reenact them, but we'll radio play them.
Oh, yeah. We'll do the whole effects. Like old-timey radio.
Please make them true. That's our only request.
Yeah, don't lie to us.
Make them real. We'll find out. We'll vet it. And we'll cancel the ones that aren't true via eternal life.
Exactly. Life's eternal.
We have the power now. So just please. Sorry.
Your notifications.
That was Renzo Berardi.
Ooh.
I only do business with Italians.
Obviously.
That's why I haven't made any money through my business.
Of course, no. It's all being funneled back into the sausage factory.
Sausage. So we got nothing but the sides. We have Thanksgiving dumpster fires. And the third of the trifecta trilogy of our Thanksgiving episodes are what, Emily?
Leftovers.
Ooh.
And I already got a couple questions about leftovers.
It happens so soon these days.
People really want to know. So anyone who already sent in any holiday questions, which you totally can, we're saving those for the holiday episodes. And we're also going to have some jam-packed Christmas episodes. And it's going to be awesome. We're really going to celebrate this weird-ass holiday season where not normal.
And we're going to look upon the past.
Exactly.
Via these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe realize quickly that it wasn't that great back then. This is it. Maybe this is the new thing that we're having. Small groups, and we kind of that drunk uncle, drunk baby, they don't get invited.
Exactly.
Best excuse ever.
That is.
COVID.
Boom. So, yeah. Jeff, how was your week this week?
Hold on. I got to stop. Sarah turned on she knows when I'm recording, you can't turn on the heat because we're right next to the.
Turn on the heat.
Turn up the heat. She's probably
cold. I know. I hear it in my.
But this is fine. This is real life. So I'm using my app to shut off the thing, but it takes a bit to cycle down.
All right. I do some noise gate reduction.
Nobody
cares. It's really.
So, Emily, I'm sorry. You asked me a question. What was it?
How was your week?
What?
Tender mama for this week. Tell me, how was your week? Dearest mama, baby, this week, how was your week?
So that one's dedicated to our mother, Pamela Louise Morrow, who gave me a critique at Sunday dinner.
Which was?
The songs are just like, I don't know, they're harsh. They just hit you just like too much. I don't know. I don't like listening to them. And I'm thinking, like, looking back, especially the ones that are now... quote unquote permanent, are a little metal-ish, right? Little hard, heavy, headbanging tunes. And that's what I sometimes gravitate towards. But, Mama, every song in today's episode is dedicated to you.
Really?
And not only just dedicated to you, but have been composed, written, and recorded fresh for you. All dedicated to Mama. So I try to make them all... tender, you know?
That's very tender.
It's real tender and smooth.
I know, you say tender mama.
Yeah.
It kind of creeps me out a little bit because...
Mama, baby?
No,
that's what he says.
Because you and I talk about this. Like, I ask you how your week was. You ask how my week was. So it's like, are you calling me tender mama? Because that makes me slightly uncomfortable.
How was your week, tender mama?
Okay, I think that's... It could... You know what? It's... Hey...
Did we not
I leave it up to
through?
Interpretation to the listener.
Okay.
That's part of art, Emily.
All right.
I can't put it all out there and explain it to you, perfectly. It's all, I leave it up to interpretation.
Okay.
Like, all great art reveals itself eventually.
I shall. Okay.
How was my week this week?
Yes. How was it?
It was packed, but we packed Jardinera. We took one day, Sarah and I and Lisa and my partner Vic and John and Chris. We all packed the Jard.
Wow.
Successfully, we bubble wrapped each individual thing. You know, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, but it was fun. It was fun to get physical with something. I miss that, and it was wonderful. We did it in our new facility that is under construction, so we had no heat, and it was exposed brick. And we did it old school, which means We took the packaging by the balls and we made it our super duper number one bitch.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Aside from that, it was a good week, man. I mean, we did that. We went to Haunted Highway last night.
Oh, yes. You had
which is
that.
A drive-in haunted house, which is a hybrid of a drive-in movie theater where they show like some old zombie movie. And then you stay in your car and you tune it to a certain radio station where you can hear the drive-in audio. And people come around and scary. And we're like, Sarah's like, I was reading up online. Lorenzo went with his buddy and they brought their masks. And they're like, oh, we're into it. I'm telling you. I mean, they would open your door.
No shit.
And they were like tickling Sarah's side with a fake knife.
You're joking.
I am not kidding. I have video. I'll put it up. I'll put it up on comeonover.com. She's in the passenger seat, like cowering while the guys are like, I'm here to take your COVID test. And they'd open the door. So you have to try to lock the doors. But then the boys wanted to go out and like scare people themselves.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, every review she read online, like 2 hours before we left, Sarah says was a horrendous review. She's like, I don't know what we're getting into. $75 in a car, right?
You can for load everybody.
Up forever. Not okay. Each. For anybody.
That's not
whatever.
Bad.
You can put 15 people in a car if that's your style.
That's big.
If your car's big, but I'm telling you, after like the first or the second major scare where they like literally jumped on your car and like went through the window and through the sunroof, it was hilarious and fun.
Okay.
Great hour of clean, distanced, good old-fashioned fun. So that was great.
Where your wife was getting tickled.
She's
with
like,
the
why
knife.
Why are they touching me? I go, well, they're not touching me, I'll tell you that much. It was fun, but that, you know, Lorenzo had fun. His little buddy Chase had a blast. I mean, they were screaming too. They were scared. And you know that thing that a lot of young people do? I remember doing this, especially at haunted houses, when you are totally afraid and nervous. And then you're like, hey, buddy, how's that mask?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sweet rubber knife. Mm-hmm. I know there's no blade on that chainsaw. You overcompensate, and it's like how you deal with the fear and the anxiety. Remember?
Cocky.
And they were, I was like, Lorenzo, shut up. Those are actors. You know, appreciate what they're doing. And some were very dialed in, man. They were pros.
Probably because, you know, actors aren't working as much in Chicago anymore.
I'm telling
you. So they're hungry for, they're committing to the roles.
They said in the program there were 3 Emmy nominees.
Stop it. You were lying.
Daytime Emmys. I'm just
like me. Daytime. I mean, it doesn't count.
I would never.
But I went to a haunted house once years ago. I was probably in high school. And I remember legit like getting chased by someone with a chainsaw. And I got down on my hands and knees and was crawling away, terrified, petrified with fear.
Disgusting.
I know. Pre-COVID times, obviously.
Yeah, remember that? Did you hear it? Life's
Eternal.
Yeah,
I heard it.
I'm going to play it one more time. Shut up. Oh, it is eternal. Or is it? If you're stuck in the loop. Okay, so Emily, 1 second. I got a quick, real great question for you.
Yeah, 1 second.
Oh, yeah. Tell me, in excess. Michael Hutchins. Rest in peace.
So wait, this was, you're trying to sound like in excess?
No.
Dearest mama baby.
It's so weird.
What? Dearest mama baby.
Dearest
first time
mama
ever saying.
Baby.
Nobody's ever combined baby and mama together.
Well, you know it.
In
you
one
are,
tender phrase.
Revolutionizing songwriting as we know it. But yeah, my week was pretty decent.
Sounds like it. You went out a lot, didn't you?
Because, you know, they're shutting down Chicago again. Not like shutting down, but restaurants and bars and whatnot. So the last couple nights that things were open, we did go out. We went out to a couple of fine establishments. Yes, we might have done some shots because this one bar we went to does dollar shots for the last 2 nights because they were trying to move some inventory. So yeah, we got a little ham-boned last night. Leave me alone.
So that's good, though.
Yeah,
you're supporting local, Emily.
Exactly. And it's, you know, the bar that's a couple blocks away from where we live. And so
it's detrimental.
Helping them
out. Well, Emily, I applaud you for supporting local.
Exactly.
It's very important now more than ever. Any way you can. I know they're shutting down these restaurants in a lot of states and cities and stuff, especially Chicago. We're getting hit so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Support them. Do the pickup thing. Do the meal kits. Buy the booze from them. All right. Let's not let this winter be as long as people are saying it's going to be. Hey, COVID-19 won't let us get us down.
That is true.
I've said that.
Yes, in a song.
Yeah.
COVID-19
won't ever stop us from getting down.
I'll pull that one up.
COVID-19 won't ever stop us from getting down.
But yeah, yeah, so we did that. We also went out to dinner for our mother's birthday.
Ooh, we went to Jimmy's.
Yeah, we went to-
How about my pizza post? It was very controversial, per usual.
I wasn't reading it too intensely.
What were you busy doing last week then?
Editing the freaking podcast.
That's good.
There was a lot of elements, Jeffrey.
Hey, and it sounds great.
I did a lot of stuff.
I have a couple notes for you, though.
Oh, thanks. Great. Yeah, do that offline, please.
It's too late.
I know it is too late.
What if I had you edit it and then re-upload it? Would that be bad? You wouldn't like that, right?
No, I would not.
What if I demanded it as the stop?
No.
Okay.
No, I would put your face in an oil fryer.
But we did have a nice dinner. It was pretty tame. There was no fireworks, per usual. There was no, like, Monday morning phone calls of being like, did you see what so-and-so did or they said? It was smooth.
Someone was on the sauce a little too hard. Mm-hmm. No, none of that. None of that. It was very
smooth. 4:30 p.m. dinner on Sunday.
Which is actually kind of late for
us. Yeah, we usually do a nice three.
But the restaurant wasn't open.
We do a 3 o'clock dinner Sunday. You know what's the best about that? When you go home.
What?
Double dinner,
yeah.
You get like around 7:30,
8 o'clock.
Oh, it was so good. Mm-hmm. And then you get double dessert if you time it right. Not eat too much ice cream because that can really bog you down.
Oh, Lord, I know.
But it was good. We had fun. We celebrated mom's birthday.
Yeah, me and Jeff actually got my mom the same card.
Yeah, with the llama.
Yeah, there were two different cards that had llamas on it, and it was the same damn llama.
What is it about mom that we thought? Well, she has been to Peru.
She does like llamas. She's got a llama painting in her office.
So we know she likes llamas.
She does.
There's only a certain selection of llama birthday cards at the drugstore. Chances are, us thinking somewhat similarly, we probably chose that.
Yeah.
The odds were good, Emily.
Yeah, it was.
I love it.
And mom loved it, too. So, Jeff, what was the best thing that you made this week or ate or whatever?
We shot 2 days of The Kitchen here from home on Monday and Tuesday, which we never do. In Tuesday, we shot the bulk of the food and everything, and we did a Thanksgiving show.
Ooh.
So I had plenty of beautiful roasted turkey made by my right-hand lady and culinary stylist and Marl Provisions guru, Lisa Critch, who made a beautiful roasted turkey. So we had that, gravy, stuffing, sweet potatoes, ooh, cranberry sauce.
Whole thing, man.
The whole thing. And I went to town. It was the most enjoyable Thanksgiving meal I've had in a decade because there was no Thanksgiving involved. But I had all the food. Pro move. Do it 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Get it in. Because I don't enjoy it. Usually I'm cooking it by my in-laws. Right? And we're cooking it together. And by the time you get out, I don't enjoy it. Like anything I cook, I rarely enjoy as much as if someone cooks it for me. So it was all prepared. Every component of that meal, I microwaved to heat up.
Wow.
Never do that. But it was perfect. It wasn't super cold, that's why, because it was sitting out. It's probably in the temperature danger zone for a little too long, but.
Whatever.
What about you? How about you? I never ask you what was the best thing, because you are married to a chef.
Not married.
Mikey Savage is a pizzaiole. He makes it a pizza. He's a trained chef. What did you eat this? What did he make you now that you live together? I'm taking notes.
Sorry
for assuming.
I have been perfecting this recipe of a spicy caldo, chicken caldo. So it's like a spicy soup. Mexican soup.
Mm-hmm.
And since now I do live with the chef, I made it once and then was like, all right, notes. Tell me what to do. He told me like how to like adjust it a little bit. You know, he's like, hey, why don't you put the zucchini in a little bit later than the carrots? Why don't you do this? And, you know, it's like I'm not trained. I don't know. I just kind of wing it. I go fast and dirty. And just
it's very important to put the zucchini in way later than the carrots. You knew that, though. You didn't know that?
Because
this is great. Look at you. See, that's
learning.
A great.
So it's. I was really proud of it because I've really been perfecting it over a 2-year period because I just make it all winter long and it's really, really spicy and just kind of knocks you in the gut.
You love stews, soups, spicy.
I do.
You do. You like plow through them.
I do. I'll make some for you and bring it next time. You'll see.
She brings us like smoothie cup with like a big old boba straw in it. To the house when you were recording, and there's like always like room temp soup in there.
No, I don't.
It's like chunky
guys,
soup.
Guys, this is not true.
She does. She has with stringy meats and beans in there, and she's like,
no, this,
she's
all this
slurping
is
it up.
Fallacies, lies. But anyway, enough of that nonsense, Jeff. What are you watching?
What?
Dearest mama, what are you watching this week? Is it on Hulu?
Love you, Mom.
I love you, Mama.
I am watching Kingdom, the MMA show, which
I've heard good things about.
Premiered on some random channel. I don't even remember. And then I went to DirecTV channel, and now it's on Netflix. I think it's 3 seasons deep. We're about 7 episodes in. It's got the
Nick Jonas.
Yeah, the gnarlier of the Jonas brothers. He does look a little big.
No, he's like the favorite.
I know he's the most popular Jonas, but he's the only Jonas that looks like he can actually be a fighter. He's a little beat up. He's got the grill.
You think so?
He's a little busted. And I mean that in a good, he looks tough. I don't know. He looks like he's been through more shit than the other two brothers.
He maybe smokes
on the weekend.
Oh, like cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he likes like brown liquor.
You know, I worked with him once.
How was he?
It's kind of, he didn't really, the hair and makeup people were like, he's kind of boring.
He's like a child star. So you can only expect so much out of him.
I had a whole Nick Jonas file. I'm not kidding. I had like a file dedicated to his
travel. Oh, I thought you meant you like had someone who was obsessed and knowledgeable of Nick Jonas, like a Nick Jonas file.
No.
Okay.
He was on Kingdom at the time while he was going on my show. And so we had to like.
What was your show again?
That one was Scream Queens. I did the first season.
Oh, I remember that. That was a Ryan Murphy.
Yes, that was.
That was not that great either. You are the kiss of death. We're glad you're not working in television right now.
I know, right?
This podcast, I hope you don't kiss to death this motherfucker.
I've never worked for a successful show.
Hey.
But anyway.
Till now, Emily.
Oh, damn right, skis. All right, so.
I mean, no.
Come on. Get on it.
Yeah, I'm watching Kingdom. We're liking it, man.
Really?
I didn't know if it was going to be another dupe where it was going to be like a network show in disguise as a Netflix show.
Yeah.
It was like the first scene. There's boobies.
Boobies, okay.
And then there's a lot of swearing. And I was like, okay, this is definitely not like a CBS show. And it's good. Great acting. Likeable characters. Italian American lead actor. And great. Fun. Fighting. Family. Screwed up family. I like the kid. The kid was little Tommy in Sleepers. Who's now the troubled older brother. Great.
Oh,
good actor. Real enjoyable.
Good stuff.
Great
stuff. I'm
Kingdom, highly recommended. Older show. I think it's done, but 3 seasons worth. Listen, that's all we need. Because sometimes you got to ask yourself.
Dearest mama, what are you watching this week?
So tender. Go ahead. What are you watching?
So I actually started watching The Undoing on HBO.
Okay.
With Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant. You guys didn't watch it yet?
We have to do it. I know.
It's really good. It revolves around a murder mystery. I believe the whole thing will be a whodunit.
A whodunit. Which whodunit?
Whodunit. No. Upper echelon of Upper East Side, New York. I'm engaged.
I love any of those limited series on HBO, I think they really...
Oh, yeah.
They come out hard. They make you crave more. And then it's a good 6-8 episode journey that leaves you wanting more. Which
exactly.
I think at the end, like, it's kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
But when they try to be like, surprise, it's not a limited series anymore. We're doing season 2. That's when it fails.
Yeah. Well,
they got to stick
to
limited.
Big Little Lies, boom. I did not like
True
season
Detective,
two.
Boom. Terrible.
Yeah. Right.
And I still watch it because it had National Treasure Vince Vaughn in it.
But I'm also embarrassed to say that I am watching The Bachelorette right now.
I know. She is driving me. It's horrible,
it
Emily.
They're all terrible people. But I have to say it is quite refreshing that they do have, like, she's 39 years old. Usually they're like 25 and over idealistic and, you know, just taking all this crap from guys. And she just is not playing by the rules. She's doing whatever the hell she wants to do. And I kind of give her props. I do find her grating. And I find all those guys total D-bags. But
super.
You know what?
How about the guy? Let's just call him Nick M. Because I feel like they're all named like Nick M. He was the one who was appalled at her signing off on the naked dodgeball.
I know. That MF-er just wanted more airtime.
Oh, he got it all right.
Oh, yeah. And
he
she, yeah, he's the worst. He probably said the word classless like 10 times. I'm like, how many times are women freaking treated like sex objects and victimized? So you know what? If he didn't want to do it, just don't freaking do it. Say no.
Say no.
You can say no.
You can call shirts, bro. You can call
shirts. Yeah, you
can.
Exactly.
I guarantee you, if you would have called shirts, you can't. I mean, that's a lawsuit. If they make you go shirtless.
Yeah, but this one was pantless. And I think someone went like full trial. Someone like showed the twig and berries.
Oh, a lot of dongs floating around.
Totally. But yeah.
Listen, it could all turn around.
No, we know what's going to happen. She's going to go off and with that Dale dude. And then new one comes in.
It's a whole thing. Listen, if you guys don't watch The Bachelor, this is not a Bachelor recap, Emily.
No, it's not.
Podcast. I don't know. If your wife watches it, pull out the laptop, crack a cold one, and watch it alongside and get some work done while you're watching these people. I mean, that's all you got to do. I'm always wondering who's making the drinks and who's bringing them the food in that house.
Yeah.
Because nobody eats the food.
They don't eat on camera.
Zero eating on camera.
Yeah, because it's too loud.
And then they drink. And then sometimes I see nice looking mixed drinks. They have a, because I know the Bachelor in Paradise has a resident who I judged on.
Wells?
Yeah, Wells. I judged and I crowned him the winner of Worst Cooks in America Celebrity Edition against Johnny Bananas.
Wait.
It was Wells at the end, and I was the determining factor. I go, Why didn't I
see this? I didn't. You judged Johnny Bananas?
Yeah, worst, and with Amber
out. Oh, my God.
And, yeah, it's what I do, Emily.
I know. I watch the challenge a lot, too, so always look forward to that.
Living in the past, Emily.
No, challenge is still on.
Consistently. I love a challenge.
All right, and I'm going to challenge you, Jeff, with all these amazing questions that our listeners have sent in.
Oh, my
through
jeepers.
Different platforms. We got through the Instagram.
Wait, so are you saying this is a traditional amped up IG Q&A?
Yes.
It deserves a song. Kick it.
Mama, mama, it's IG Q&A.
How's that, Mom? That one was for you, Mommy. We love you. Never forget.
Always. But yes, it's an IG Q&A on steroids. Not that we are promoting steroids.
I've thought about it. I'm not going to lie.
Chef!
If it wasn't for needles in the ass, I would probably, if they have like a nasal spray, I'd probably get jacked up for a couple months, see what happens.
You know what that does to the rest of your
that
body.
That is right.
You'll lose hair.
I'm not like competing.
Your balls
Emily.
Shrivel.
I'm not getting tested. I just want to see what happens. Maybe Jesus. I get my six pack I've been working on.
Well, do they test for steroids at the Food Network?
Dude, they do. It's the only drug they test for.
Wow.
It does.
That's
they don't want
unfortunate.
You just making hard television too hard. They don't want you making television too hard. You know what I mean? Because then I would make sick, fuck, just record-breaking television.
Wow.
And they'd cancel me. I'm kidding. I don't advocate it.
What's funny? All right. Well, let's kick this off with a category of the kitchen, because a lot of people asked quite a few questions about you working on the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. So this one is from at Cassie Nybeck.
What's up, Cass?
On the kitchen, when you guys do the tool takedown segments, have you ever actually loved a tool that you tested and brought it home? If so, what tool is it? P.S. I love your podcast. You and Emily are a great duo. Thank you. Well,
thank you very much. All right, the clock's on. I got to do this.
Oh.
I have never liked any of those tools.
Really?
Sonny has liked a couple of them. I think it was the corn cobber one. I'm not quite sure, though. I can't remember because a lot of times we have to rush through these segments. It doesn't give you enough hands-on experience with the tool to really vet it out and get it working. So they omitted like the timed element of it, but then what was the point of the competition of a knife versus a tool, like old school versus new tool, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel bad for a lot of those companies. I'm glad we've kind of ceased doing that, or at least at these at-home things, but we'll probably go back to it in the studio because I feel like we like kind of screw with their business a little bit being like, this sucks. I would never use it.
I know.
They're like, but what if I like it? So then you kind of lie and you say you like it. But there are some good inventions out there. There was one that's a Wi-Fi meat thermometer that I really enjoyed. I think it was called the Smoke Daddy. And then I lost it. I feel bad. But none of them really cut the mustard enough for me. I'm sorry.
All right, now this one is from Mrs. Chipotle Bear.
Oh, what's she into?
Who knows? I'd love to hear about the behind the scenes during quarantine shooting for the kitchen. Like, why haven't we been in Sunny's house? Is she going to grill in the snow?
Well, I can't accurately answer this question. This is a question for Sunny. But I know she's more private than the rest of the hosts. And you got to respect that, right?
Yeah. Now,
just because we do what we do doesn't automatically give license to the networks and the shows and the producers and everybody access to your home. I think there's something very admirable about keeping that personal and special. You know, I'm obviously a big fat whore who just whores myself out and my family all day long. But I mean, we enjoy doing it. I have a small little unit here that we, you know, churn and burn out these episodes. And I'd rather do them at home because I'm not saying I'd rather do it at home than the studio, but now it's cold. I can't do them outside. It's cold in Jersey too, where Sunny lives. So I'm curious to see. I think the answer to that one, Emily,
is
we'll be shooting in the studio. sooner than later. So that's a little tease. But I know she was doing some renovations inside, and so that physically kept her out of there, and then she just rolled with it. And it's, listen, what's easier when you're hosting a party? Cooking inside six different courses or dishes or whatever, or doing that outside when you just sweep some stuff on the floor and have the local vermin and fauna eat?
Yeah, exactly. The raccoons and stuff. Okay.
Who asked that question?
That was Mrs. Chipotle Bear.
Mrs. Chipotle Bear.
This one is from Analia.
Ooh, hello.
I'm obsessed with the kitchen about as much as you are about the office. And I'm obsessed with the office too. So of course my question will be about the kitchen. Do you think that any of your co-stars will actually listen to your podcast? If so, who? And who do you think is the least likely to listen? I think if one person did, it would be Sunny. And the person who def wouldn't is Katie. Agree?
Oh, what are you talking about? Listen, I can't answer this question. I can do a little recon and find out. But I'm guessing that we all hear each other's voices enough that we're probably not like spending free time listening
jumping
to each.
At the bit
oh,
to,
I
like,
can't wait
oh,
to hear what Jeff says again. You know what I mean? So listen, Jeffrey does a podcast pre-COVID. I don't know if he's been doing it during, but like, listen, we support each other no matter what. They were super supportive of Marl Provisions rollout and did major posts and really helpful. So supportive. We're supportive of each other, but I have zero expectations.
Yeah.
I do not expect them to listen to this. This is for you guys. You know what I mean? It's like, do you really want to like, listen, what about Kathy from accounting at your office? Quote unquote.
You like a podcast about accounting.
Yeah. It's like I'm going home and I'm going to listen, you know, to the woman, you know, the person next to me who's talking all day. And you don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
So there. But hey, if, you know, if they want to listen, I'll send them a link.
Yeah, go for it.
If you are listening, I apologize, Sonny or Katie or Jeffrey or Alex. I know the producers are all big fans.
Yeah. Yeah. You were saying that one thinks that I'm a great producer.
She does. And she's a very good producer herself. She's been Emmy nominated too, Emily.
Daytime?
We're in daytime television. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just.
The new show's primetime. Give me a chance.
I will give you a chance. Maybe. All right. Now we're heading on to some personal questions, Jeff. We got a bunch of these.
All right.
They're always fun to answer if they're not too invasive. Anyway.
I don't think I've read this one. This is where I stopped taking notes.
Ooh,
go ahead.
Here we go. This is from McKenna.Jill. Have you been forced to distance yourself from family or friends because of your celebrity / wealth? That is kind of dark.
Is that the question?
That
have
is
I
the
distanced
question.
Myself?
Have you been forced to distance yourself from family or friends because of your celebrity / wealth?
I don't think I have. I think I've embedded myself enough in the place we grew up in, where we still live. Is accessible? I think so. What do you think? Emily, why don't you answer this question?
No, I think that you're essentially still the same person and you're still there with us.
But I know you guys, but like what about cousins? I mean, we have
like, well, maybe if we get into like the third or fourth cousins, I think, you know, the first cousins are all super tight. I don't know. I think just when people come out of the woodwork, I'm sure you're not standoffish, but like polite or whatever. Cause it's like people do come out of the woodwork and it's kind of weird sometimes.
It's true. And you guys get it just as, I mean, not just as much, but you guys get a taste of it.
Like, do you know how many times, like, especially when, you know, Sandwich King was happening and Next Food Network star, how many people that I'd run into, they'd be like, so will you tell your brother I got a great sandwich idea? Oh. And now, like, I still get random texts from certain people being like, tell your brother, great new sandwich idea. Listen to this.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, still, it's been like 10 years.
People love sandwiches.
It's true. It's true.
Thank you for, you know, bouncing those people, deflecting them for me.
I know, I do. I'm a human shield. Hey, I learned. I learned long ago.
Hey.
You had to do that.
There's only so much of me. But point being, I do try to do as much as possible for the people I grew up with and that I love and they're near and dear to me. So, I mean, that's it. I can't do everything, but
no, you can't. But, you know, you do good. All right, moving on.
Great question, McKenna Jill. Who I'm going to reckon is named Jill McKenna.
Could be.
Jill McKenna, I'm thinking of you.
There we go.
Oh, you're my baby and I'm rocking you to bed slow. And I want to put you in the crib. No?
No, what does that? Oh, God, there's.
You never did crib play? You have no room in that studio apartment for a crib.
Fuck no. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you swore.
I know. Mom will be so mad.
No, she's not. She's going to be elated because I'm writing so many tender songs for her.
No, but you know, those people who dress up like babies, like the diaper play and all that weird stuff. Where
one of the guys last night.
Which is funny because you were always a baby for Halloween.
Maybe I'm into that. You know, maybe that's why these songs are so, oh my God, they're hitting home. But there was one of the guys, the scare actors, that was dressed like kind of like a big baby. And that was the one who's like, it's time for your COVID test.
Oh God, Jesus.
And he said something about like, wait, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's such a waste of sperm. I'm like, oh my God. And he was like poking Sarah through the door.
Oh God.
I can't, I can't recommend Highway to whatever it's called, Highway Haunt enough.
Oh God.
All right, next question.
All right, next question.
Just, I'm not even going to comment on that.
All right. Wow, that's a new one. This is from Joshua.Ellis, 585. So I see you're into the dead. Are you into Fish? Do you get into Humphreys McGee? They are sort of a hometown band. If you have addressed this before, I do apologize. Keep bringing it. My gal and I love to try to recreate. Fuck
me. You saw so many shots.
My gal and I love trying to recreate.
You're going with it. No.
My gal and I love. Jeff, let me, please.
No.
My gal and I love trying to recreate your dishes.
Well, shout out to your gal. I like that, Joshua. Yes, you know, I put it out there. I'm into the dead. I'm into a lot of music. Am I into Fish? Yes, I've seen them probably 26 times. First show I saw when I was 16, 1994, UIC Pavilion. Very young and impressionable. Humphreys McGee, no.
I've never seen them a bunch.
You've seen them a bunch because you have a personal connection with one of the members of the band, right?
No, I do not.
What the hell?
No, I don't.
I thought like you knew the guy who
no,
was
I
like.
I don't know. I think like one of my friends knows somebody because it's like they're quite accessible to their fans. And when we'd go to this one festival called Summer Camp, they would like you could like play games with them, like play like kickball and all that stuff. So I don't know. I was never that big of a fan, but I like to go to those shows so I can, you know, dance and
was it
loose.
Naked kickball?
No,
with the band?
It was not
a
la
Bachelorette.
Kickball.
Okay, no. Just making sure. I don't want anybody getting in a situation.
Yeah, but they also used to have these awesome Halloween shows that were like mashup ones. So you'd have like a mashup costume. Like one year I was a Unicandy Corn and my friend was like Peter Panda. Another friend was Chippendale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's some good, but yeah, anyway.
It's like Chippendale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
It's a good costume.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, so the McGee, not into. Fish, very much so, but don't actively listen to them as much, even though I have a preset of Jam on, Sirius XMU channel on my, Sirius XM channel on my thing in my car. And, you know, I listen to more Dead, but, you know, there's always something to rediscover out of both those bands. So great question, Joshua Ellis.
Endless catalogs. This
I love you and your gal.
All right, so this one is from someone who actually asked a question many months ago.
Uh-oh.
Kelly Weideman. We had called her Kelly Weiderman and then made some joke about like weed.
I'm sorry about that. That sounds very hacky. It must have been a very early episode.
And she sent an email saying thanks for the shout out and FYI, this is how you pronounce my name. So I'm giving her credit where credit is due.
Weideman.
And then she says, what are your biggest pet peeves, whether it's with one another or in general?
Well, first of all, let's start with each other. And you can give me one too. I'm not afraid. Let's see. My biggest pet peeve with you, Emily, is you can be a little verbose in communications, which is good and bad. But it's not my style, so that's fine.
It's okay.
My biggest pet peeve in life, probably besides bad drivers, which is not even a peeve anymore, it's just a constant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, should I even say this?
What?
Ugh.
Do it.
It's so stupid. It's not though. It's, and I love my wife. Okay, but you know we've been
anything
together
that starts off
over
like that
20 years. Okay.
Like people who start off being like, I'm not racist, but
oh, stop it. No, I love her to death. She is my everything. But when she chews gum, which is constantly, especially only in the car.
Oh, no.
She turns into like a pink lady, right? Her attitude change. What you talking about, Roz? You know, like, do you hear about Zuko? Like, she goes back to the neighborhood and it's like she's in an apartment again, you know, second floor.
Oh.
Chomping on the chomping on gum while chatting with her girlfriends on the landline. And it's not even an attitude, it's the audible smacking of the gum. Now, I am not a gum chewer, all right? I don't really eat hard candy or gums. When I do, it's because maybe I just ate a little hummus or something and I need to clear the deck. But I'm telling you, I love her and I let her chew the gum and I rarely say anything. Because then she'll start bringing up my bad habits that she tolerates. Hey. So I'm not, hey, we all entitled. I deal with it. It makes her happy. But that's it. Look at that. Now, if this causes a fight, you're going to hear about it next week.
We'll find out. Only time will tell. Well,
and she'll just roll through them, too. She'll roll through the pieces. She'll do one. She throws it out, spits it out the window like a hill rod. And I could say that because that's her thing. Yeah. But and then she goes, boom, she reboots with another. And I'm not talking like sticks of gum. She does the gnocchi gum, like the cubes that come in like a pint.
I have
they
two.
They fit in the cup holder.
I have two in my bedside table.
Oh, my bedside table. I tell you.
Your bedside
why
table.
Why are you chewing gum in your bedside table? It's the oddest place to chew gum. I hate chewing gum.
Okay, well.
It's so loud. I don't want to hear. Like, let's talk. Let's converse. Okay. Let's listen to the radio.
Hey, good stuff. Well, I think my biggest pet peeve with you.
I don't know if they asked you, did they?
Okay. Yeah, it's a Jeff. It's the asked us both.
All right.
I don't know. I think you're sometimes just a little bit of an asshole sometimes. Okay. And that kind of like where I'm like, is this going to be the thing that sets him off?
Yeah, I am. I'm sensitive.
Yeah. I'd say you're a sensitive asshole.
Yeah, well, no. What's going to set me off? It could be a lot of things.
No, exactly. So it's sensitive. Like sometimes you just don't know. And it's like it might be the thing that you didn't expect. And it's just, you know, it's a little jarring.
You do handle me very well, especially in a professional capacity. Way better than a personal capacity.
Exactly.
So I will promise I will work on that.
There you go.
I'm trying.
And I'll work on not being so verbose because I know that is something that's better for communication anyway. To be concise, brevity, people. And then generally speaking, kind of similar to yours is like loud chewers. I had a boss that was notorious for this. And then on top of that, he would do like what dad does and be like.
Like eating, laughing?
Like loud chewing and then with the mouth open. And then on top of that, constantly clearing huge mounds of phlegm deep within the gullet is just that's hard. That was a rough job.
So I think we're both sensitive because it's the same spectrum of annoyance. I think it's a lot of smacking.
There you go.
I love you, baby. Not you. It's Sarah.
Jesus. Okay. This one is from Emily Sturberg.
Sturberg.
Love the podcast and the kitchen. Jeff, do you and Michael Collins bond over cooking since he's also a chef? What do you think of his cooking?
Who's Emily? Do you know? Is this you? Is this like a Sturberg? We did the first time I met him because we were at a house in Michigan and since he works as a chef, we don't see each other a lot, unfortunately, because he works all the time. If you guys have ever worked in a restaurant, knows that job requires all nights and weekends pretty much. So, but I'm looking forward. Hopefully during the holidays, we'll cook together.
I know. He actually made an awesome freaking pasta sauce.
I saw that.
With simmering. Freaking short ribs.
Ooh.
There. It was like homemade grandmother
gravy
kind of stuff. Oh, it was
Sunday gravy.
It was delish. I was so impressed.
Fuck.
And then here's another one. This is from Meg_Adelon. Besides cooking, what have been some other hobbies you have discovered while staying at home?
I think recording.
Obviously, this is
recording music, playing multiple instruments. But I've always somewhat done that. But I don't know. I feel like I've always had hobbies and I just dove deeper into these hobbies during the quarantine. Really, nothing. I don't know.
You don't do needlepoint?
I always had extracurricular activities that I was passionate about that I always set aside time for. Which I believe is a very healthy way to live, regardless if you're passionate about anything or recording or producing anything. But I think, Emily?
Yeah, Jeff?
That there's no more room left for any additional hobbies.
I know, right?
I really don't.
Macrame?
Podcasting. That's about it.
I know. That's.
But this is a professional endeavor.
I know, in the basement.
Stop it.
Yeah, all right. This is from Chelsea Smith. And I just want to say her email subject was the only thing I hate about this podcast is .. And I was like, hey, you got my attention.
Smart.
And then is the fact that I'm not a member of your freaking family.
Okay.
Jeff, you've always been my favorite on the kitchen, but Emily, I love you just as much now too. Your family stories are amazing. It's so awesome to have a peek inside someone else's upbringing that was so different than your own. With that being said, no one in my family ever brought me in the kitchen to show me how to cook or teach me anything. I make a point almost every day to pull up a chair and get my kids in the kitchen with me. Do you have a favorite memory from your childhood of someone taking the time to teach you in the kitchen? Keep the podcast coming. I'll get the hell out now.
Thank you so much, Emily. That was so nice. You had us in the beginning and then boom.
Her name was Chelsea.
Oh, Chelsea. That was Emily. That was the previous one.
Yeah, Emily Sturberg.
Sturberg is not. Chelsea, we love you. Thank you. We salute you. Thanks for listening. That's a very... very kind words.
Right.
I don't think you want to be in our family, trust me.
No, you don't.
Everybody kind of wants to be until you maybe go on
then
vacation
you're at the dinner
with us.
Table. Oh,
exactly.
God.
Jesus. How about that? That is the make or breaker, right?
Yeah.
We'll see if Mikey Sauvage makes it through his first family tomorrow vacation. I think he can handle it.
I think so, too.
I don't know. I think we have near and dear memories, obviously. We're constantly surrounded by food, so it wasn't like anything special. I think for me, it was my grandma making pizza. She made this really doughy, super undercooked, cut with scissors pizza.
It soft. Was like
soft, right? Sweet sauce, tons of cheese, and this dough that was just like, I hate to say it, chewing gum, Emily. It was so soft.
Snapping around.
And I remember the smell of that, just building the pizza with her, putting in that old white, it's like a steel oven. I don't even know, right? I mean, no exhaust. You know what I mean? Tiny linoleum floor, tiny, tiny kitchen, this small, literally one floor house in Galewood on Neva. That
two bedroom
that raised four kids in. I mean, like, talk about Uncle Joe and Willy Wonka. It was like one of those situations. And
she was like three in a bed at some point.
Oh, easily. And you look at how my grandma, rest in peace, Grandma Kay. She hosted like all the cousins there all the time. And it was, we wouldn't order anything. You know what I mean? There was no ordering out.
Oh, no.
It was like she would make everything from the breakfast, lunch, and dinner for us while our parents were probably getting hammered somewhere.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Out on the town.
I know.
Doing, you know, disco line dancing. You know? Dun, dun,
dun. Like from Boogie Nights.
Yeah, from Boogie Nights. Oh, God. And we loved it. We didn't. We loved it. We wanted to go to grandma's house.
It was so much fun.
And we have, I said it earlier in the show, we have 15 first cousins, okay? My mom has three siblings, and all of them had at least, at four children. My Uncle Neil had three. Slacker.
I know, right?
And we grew up all in the same neighborhood. So we loved going over there, and my grandma would cook, and she would brew strong espresso and put tons of sugar in there for us.
No, well, actually, I remember specifically, especially after Grandpa died and we'd do sleepovers there and we'd stay up all night playing poker, drinking coffee.
Yep.
I was 8 years old. She would not allow me to put sugar
in
it because she
said
it was the devil's food.
Yeah.
But yet here I am, freaking 8 years old, pounding coffee at 3 a.m.
It's so funny. While learning how to play, like I'm talking like draw poker.
Oh, yeah.
We each had an old converted Parmesan container that we'd keep our money
or
and coins
can.
In.
Yeah.
Or coffee can. I remember mine had, I put my own little slot in there. It was like a big, you know, Caputo's Parmesan thing. You dunk your coins in there and you have them for the next week.
Much
and
fun.
We'd gamble and we get charged up on espresso. And
for the days, man.
And I would have to sleep in the front room because nobody else would.
That room was haunted.
And it was. And it was a plastic covered couch.
Oh, God. You slept on the plastic couch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I was like, I'll take the couch because it gave me more room. But you'd sacrifice the So it was hot and they wouldn't really keep it cool nor hot
nope.
in here. So if it was winter, you were freezing. If it was summer, you were steaming.
It's so
and
true.
I would literally have to pull my body off the couch midnight like a fruit roll-up. Oh. You know when like fruit roll-ups get warm in your backpack?
Yeah, there's no way. You have to like with your teeth.
Dude, it was like hot gum. I was like hot gum on a sidewalk. You could not get me off that. And that's a memory. So look at that. That's what I remember much, the smell. And Pizzelles, yeah.
Pizzelles. I actually have some old pictures of us sitting around the table making something with her, and I will post them.
Yeah, do you have that?
I have them.
Well, she had the Pizzelle. She had the recipe, and then she had the Pizzelle. Now, a Pizzelle is like the waffle cone kind of thin Italian anise-flavored cookie, right, that you have. It's dusted in sugar. They're really good. They last for,
simple.
Like, I think 6 weeks room temperature. And at least the ones Grandma did, or they came from the freezer in stacks. But, you know, she would make 100 of them. And but when they're warm and fresh, they're so good.
They are so good.
I'm going to open a Pizzelle factory, Emily.
Do it. Add it to tomorrow provisions.
Provisions, Pizzelles.
Pizzelles. Okay.
I think we got to wrap this up, Em.
I know.
Are we doing Frank's take?
No, we aren't. Remember?
Oh, my God. And I wrote a song about Frank's take, too.
But Jeff, you knew that. You said we were scrapping Frank, because Frank was only available at a certain time.
But I wrote the song already, Emily.
Well, let's freaking hear it.
Got a lovely mother who gave birth to a son, and that son is our oldest brother, Frank, and he's a tank, and our mom's Pamela Louise Morrow. She's the greatest in the world. She's the greatest in the States, and she loves sausage thin crust with Vesuvius. And when she goes out, she orders lots of shrimp. And my dad's severely allergic to shrimp. And I secretly hope she kills him by ordering shrimp. Pamela Louise Morrow. Order shrimp. Pamela Louise Morrow. Order shrimp.
Isn't that great?
That's so good.
I had to still play because all the songs were dedicated to Mama.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I did. That was a stream of conscious, and I just went with it because I was talking about Mom. I was like, oh, what does she like to order? Let's bring it back to food. She loves sausage pizza. She loves chicken Vesuvio. Well, and pasta, the gabadillos with vodka sauce. That's what we had on Sunday. But man, she orders shrimp so much, and our dad is so severely allergic to shrimp.
It's true.
But she does it despite him. And I think it's a baller move.
Because also, then he can't eat off
of it.
He can't
eat it. It doesn't. I was joking around the song. It has nothing to do with her trying to sabotage his life.
No.
But it has to do with my dad is a notorious picker, grazer.
Oh, yeah.
Food stealer.
Yeah.
Everything from gristle to crust to the bread
gristle.
You're not eating. The bread.
The remnants of a chicken wing.
He will take your little butter tray, your little butter packet, and lick it clean if you didn't scrape it good enough, boy. He does the gristle.
He's like, oh, you don't want that piece of steak.
Like, oh, hand it down.
That's
here.
A good bit, best part.
He was always in charge of the plate clearing at the end of dinner. And that's when you pass the plates down and he would consolidate onto one garbage plate and then stack the rest that would have to go to the sink, right? To help out. We're all big on cleaning up after a meal. Except for me, I'd always time my poops with that.
Oh,
I'd
good for him. Look at dumpster. You.
I eat, I poo. So dad would sit there and I think he would eat majority of the garbage plate. Remember? He would like scrape some off. He'd be like, Dana.
Oh, God. He's like, take it in the other room.
Thank God.
Yeah, you know secretly. I mean?
So shout out to Mom. But isn't that tender?
Got a lovely mother who gave birth to a son. And that son is our oldest brother, Frankie. And he's a tank and a mom.
I love it.
All right.
So sorry. There is no Frank's take. There's no time this week.
Well, he didn't have time for us because there's football going on. There's stuff with the kids. And, you know, he has a life. This can't always revolve around us. I'm going to do one more question because we have gone
way
loud.
Yes.
And there are literally people over here right now. Just because there are so many damn questions about this. This is from Carrie Close at Jeff Morrow. Where's your sweatshirt from? Love it. You're Grateful Dead.
Oh, it's by a company called Madeworn. It's kind of like, you know, faux vintage. I'm not going to lie, you know, even though that has nothing to do with vintage, but it's comfy. It's well made. Shout out to Madeworn. They do a lot of great concert tees, Zeppelin,
cool.
Stones, everything. It's actually a medium too, because they're supposed to be big. Hip kids wear really big hoodies.
Jeff loves wearing medium shirts.
Dude, but this is double X style. It's
huge. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. So I got it. That's Madeworn. Is that really the last question?
That, you know, let's do it. And then you know what? We can always come back to this at another episode.
Maybe. We love your questions. Even though Emily said we didn't have enough questions, and then I put another post out. Now we have too many questions, Em.
Because at that time we didn't have enough questions.
But it was provoking us. It was stirring up memories that we like to discuss. Is it time for death?
Jeff,
betrayal?
This is not the Halloween episode is over.
No, it is not. So is. You know what that means, everybody? Thank you all for coming on over. Wait, you know what? Before I say that, Emily.
What?
Please,
Jeffrey?
Everybody subscribe. Just the subscription thing. Give us a nice review on the thing, because I know you like it. You're listening. Give us a 5-star. Subscribe on whatever podcast platform you listen to. Come on over.com to see all the pictures and recipes that you can't get anywhere else.
No, you can't.
Try. You can't get them anywhere.
It's
They're
impossible.
Not online. It's on comeonover.com.
Mm-hmm.
You dirtballs. Now, listen.
Don't
sick
call
of you
our
guys
listeners
being here.
Dirtballs.
Thank you all. Seriously. From the bottom of my freaking heart. Thank you all. Hardly. For
so
coming
impressive.
On over. Now, please get the hell out. Now!
Woo!
Yeah.
The Come On Over podcast is powered by Game Plan. Executive produced by Steve Mandel, coordinated by Liz Landry, edited, produced, mixed by me, Emily Morrow. All songs about our mother are written and performed by Jeff Morrow. And we want to thank you all for listening. And we are gonna see you the next time. What's... Okay.
Sorry, I love you.